mentioned that in a London magazine. You're time out.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
That's not intelligent.
Paddy McAloon, Prefab Sprout. Thank you for talking to us here on KFM Radio. We feature quite a lot of new music on the station, and hopefully it goes down very well. One track we do feature quite a lot is Cruel. I hear Elvis Costello's covering that now.
Yeah, we supported him at around Christmas on some of his dates, and then we played a gig, an infamous gig at the ICA in January, which was really awful. And he was there, and he loved it all, you know, genuinely, I loved it all, because he'd had a tape of things, and he knew how things were supposed to go, and he could see no wrong in it. And he said to us, will you show us the chords to Cruel, because I'm doing an American tour, I like to play it. And I was just, you know, kind of astonished.
Was this the solo acoustic tour he was
doing? This is the one he's in the middle of it now. I don't think he played it in New York, because it was... He was keeping it for Chicago. I know that because his missus told us he played in Boston and he played in Chicago and it went down really well. I'm dying to hear it because I know he's redone. He doesn't use the same chord shapes as me. He's changed it around a little bit, and I know he was worried about playing it because it's quite a long song. Mm. You know, it's about 4.5 minutes. And
his are all three.
But it's difficult when you're by yourself to sustain interest. No matter how good you are, you know, to sustain interest because of the harmonies and the piano bits. I know he was nervous about that, but it apparently went down really well.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm dead chuffed at him doing it because I know what a reputation he's got. You know, people cover his stuff.
Mm, how's the tour going so far? How many dates have you done?
This is our fourth. We've done them. We started in Dublin, then we did Belfast, then we did Manchester Hacienda, and tonight it's Lancaster University. Great. It's gone very well, but we're still, as I used to say, getting it together because of the band. You know, we always just seem to be getting a new band. Every time I go out somewhere, I'm always apologising and saying, have to forgive us for only playing 13 or 14 songs.
How did you meet Virginia Astley?
She came to see us in... How was it? She gets these at the Hammersmith. It's like a real music biz thing because her lawyer's my lawyer. And he's, you know, not like other music biz lawyers. He's a really nice young guy, and he's like he's a big music lover. And we were mad, you know, keen to get a keyboard player, and he persuaded her. I think the trouble is she's supporting somebody, and she's supporting the Pale Fountains at the moment, and she's doing some gigs in her own right. We don't have her tomorrow night.
You don't.
So, we play Liverpool Royal Court, which I know is a large area. She's in Sunderland, play with the Pale Fountains, or something like that. She's away doing something else, which is terrible. But we'd met her, and we got on really well with her, and Wendy especially gets on with her. And our lawyer, John Kennedy, he said, would you like to... would you like to play with the Sprouts? And we were so happy that we're going to have somebody we knew. You know, it was great.
Are you going to recruit a full-time keyboard player?
I think so, yeah. I don't like the idea of playing without one now. It's just a bit stark and you sound a bit like a youth club band.
Because I think the sound of the synthesizer on the record really gives it extra texture.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have thought you might have used one live.
Well, the trouble is I played those things on there.
Oh, sorry.
I've only got two hands. I did the keyboard parts on Swing, so I've got to get somebody else really to do it. And also, from a practical point of view, when it comes to recording, we spend a lot of time having to work out. I'm not a natural piano player. I have to spend a lot of time piecing it together. And if I had somebody who was really efficient at that, I could spend time on other things.
How long have you been playing your guitar?
Oh, since I was about 12. I'm 26. Yeah, 14 years.
So, unusual chords you use?
Yeah.
Do you make them up?
I don't know that I make them up. Yeah. I don't know the names of lots of them.
I know a few people who do that, actually. Make chords.
Of course, you just do, you fall into that, really. I'm sure they've all got proper names.
Mm. Yeah, they're all suspended
49s. Well, yes, and they're all sort of diminished flattened fifths and things like that.
That's right.
Not that I'm particularly, I suppose I get a reputation as sort of being, you know, complicated, and people think that, you know, we try to be complicated. It's not that at all, you just do what comes naturally.
I was speaking to someone today who claimed he thought you were hippies. What do you say to that comment?
Why did they see us last night?
That was Bob Geldof.
It was Bob Geldof.
Yes. Why did he say that? Because he was scared. That's why we supported them. We didn't support them. We played an alternative stage to them in Sheffield University, right? And so I went along to see them. I'll tell you, their band, they're just 10th-rate imitators. I saw Bob, he stepped on Wendy's foot as he was going out, he came in earlier on, as we were moving into Hacienda, he was going out the door, and To call us hippies, that guy, he went on in Sheffield and said it's 1984. And he was like trying to summon up some kind of Orwellian imagery to help him out of his stupid, bland little music. He's just 10th rate. He's an imitator. He's not even in the same league as me.
Can't play snooker now again.
He can't play snooker. I wouldn't even know it. He's scared to call us hippies. Why are we hippies? That's terrible.
I just wanted to hear your opinion on that.
Bob, you're terrible. You're bad.
A lot of your songs are fairly religious.
The religious images. The thing about that LP is that it's a bunch of songs that weren't all written at the same time. I could go through with you and tell them where they're at different times, you see, they were written. And some of them, not because, you know, I'm particularly religious, because I'm not a good Catholic or anything like that. I'm far from it, in fact. But some of the religious imagery is useful and it does ring a bell with people. And also things like Don't Sing, which was, you know, mentions of the whiskey priest. That comes from a novel rather than directly from a religious source. And I think, as to get back to the original point, those songs collected together, it's just a sort of a kind of an accident that there's a lot of religious mentions, just as it's an accident that really the songs are quite rich for the blood. I mean, and like the criticisms that have been made of it, that it's very wordy music and very, you know, complex chord changes. That's just that bunch of songs. I've got loads of others that don't follow that pattern at all and are dead simple. You see, so that's just the way those things fall together. And also the American references, loads of people said, God, you've got Bobby Fischer and Streets of Laredo. And I just thought, God, they're right, you know, God, I hadn't even thought about that. That was I'm not an American fetishist, you know.
The expressions that take you back, hair of gold.
You know where they're from?
I was just going to ask you, where are they from?
From the green, green grass of home. It's just a dead simple song. It's about things that get you started, things that make you want to do things. And it's also about people doing things for you, like the way people used to look up to Bobby Fischer, the American chess player, you know, like a kind of, he's fighting the battles for the Americans when he went to play the Russians. You know, it's like you don't go to war anymore; you just have a great
chess game. Yeah.
And I read something about Bobby Fischer, and it just appealed to me the way he viewed what he did in terms of trashing everybody else. He used to use expressions like trash and kill and murder, and it was gruesome things, but you don't expect that from chess players. You know, sophisticated, yeah, you know, right. Very complex game. And I just like that idea, and for me, the things that get me going were like songs as a kid, like "The Green Green Grass of Home," with what is the line? And they all come down the road I walk, and there comes Mary, hair of gold, and lips like cherries, or something like that. And they were just quotations from it. Some of the reviewers really get you the wrong way around about things. Like there's some killers on there that they said, what did they say? There was one. Oh God. I can't remember. There was one. I think it was something to do with basketball. Like, they got me for being. Talking about tea rooms as if I was being flaky and flimsy, and I was talking about nostalgia, you know, and I was trying to talk about the way people would like that kind of thing. And similarly, songs written out of necessity. I wrote the I shouldn't have said that. Are you editing any of this?
Well, I can do.
Yeah, great. Right. Please, I'd rather you didn't mention that. I wrote the liner notes, right?
Did you?
Right, yeah. Just don't say that. I wrote that. And it was like, I was supposed to be a Mickey take. I was something like an NME writer. In fact, you can tell us, right? I wrote the bloody liner notes to Swoon, right? And it was supposed to be a Mickey take of the way an NME writer, a melody maker, would say, Swoon, now what can I possibly, songs written out of necessity? And there's a guy, a melody maker, then put, you know, bullshit. Songs without necessity. I thought, you've missed the whole point. That's why MOL says I couldn't put that. It's too rocky. I was just taking the mick, really. You know, you can't get that serious about it. Really, who got the means at their disposal to do something very interesting, and you might find other people who aren't technically qualified to do it would be, in a way, have much more respect, say, for things like the things around. This is going to sound really hippie. Bob Girl, that's going to come into his own here. It was supposed to be from the point of view of some guy who never got any exams or anything like that, couldn't get a job at all, and then you'd say have some passionless guy working in a job where he could find out all these interesting things. It was just supposed to be a little bit of encouragement to anybody who was passionate about anything but just didn't have the means to do it. Some of the elegance. It's a similar thing, you know. Elegance isn't defined by your bloody money or your clothes or something.
You've only had the band with you a short while. Are you going to learn the songs that have been requested and get them.
Did you hear all that? You didn't shout elegance to you. No, who shouted Q Fanfare?
No, that
was did you shout Q Fanfare last night?
No, it's me.
It was you. I'd love to play them. I'd love to play it. Yeah. Q Fanfare, we did play live round about just before Christmas in a couple of warm up gigs, but just as a three piece, it didn't really work. It just went on and on. And we thought, oh God, people are really going to drop to sleep. And it's a complicated keyboard one, so we've only got a limited time to rehearse now with Virginia, you see, so I don't know whether we'll tackle that.
So what are you going to do about tomorrow? She won't be able to play on keyboards.
We'll just do it as a four.
Well, in Birmingham we saw you. That was four.
That was the Costello tour as well. It was all... That was the last tour with Dave Ruffy, that was without as well. We just did it as a garage band or something.
What do you think of the other bands on Kitchenware?
What do I think of them? Well, I still love the Kane Gang, despite them saying some very funny things about me and Record Mirror. I think they were talked into it because they're very inexperienced. They said something like, Graham Smith, who I know likes us a lot, said something like, you're not going to go out until everything's correct or everything's perfect. And Martin said, that's right, you know, I don't want to go out and cheat people. And he said, like the Sprouts, as if we were cheating people.
Yeah.
And I know the Kane Gang are really great admirers of us, so I had words with them about that, you know. It just didn't look very nice in print, as if we were trying to cheat people by... Mm. See, with us, we've been rushed into a lot of things, right? We were rushed into the Costello support dates because we were flattered and we thought we were going to reach a lot of people before the LP comes out. And we should have taken time to get us an ace drummer, and we didn't. We got a guy who did his best, but he wasn't very good, and we suffered press-wise because of that. We weren't very good in one gig we did in London. It wasn't very good, and everybody reviewed it. So, we rushed into a few things and we're kind of guinea pigs for Kitchenware in that respect. I don't mean nastily, we're just like the first band on Kitchenware for a lot of good things to happen to. So everything we do is like testing the water. The first major tour, we are going to Europe after the last British date. And that's, you know, we'll be the first band to go over there. And all the others can reap the benefits of like our experience. The Kane Gang now can see that maybe it isn't a good idea to rush out unless you're really perfectly prepared, because the press will leap on you. But who paved the way for that? It was us, you know.
Exactly, it's similar to Factory, where Joy Division paved the way for other Factory
bands. You know, it's
like
that. You're
going to be the Kitchenware pioneers, are you?
But my favourite Kitchenware band are undoubtedly the Dainties. So I really like them. Have you seen them?
Afraid not.
Yeah, right. Well, they tend to be a riot live, and they can be really messy and sloppy, but they've got such a brilliant spirit, and the songwriter's very good, and they're kind of... We played on a little tour with them last in February, March, and they gave us a run for our money every night. They were brilliant.
Talking of songwriters, who else do you admire? Is Costello one of them?
I like Costello. The thing is, it's always a bit embarrassing talking about him, because... He was never one of the people who influenced me. And I like him, but he was never one of the people. The people who influenced me were like older people. I like him. Of course I like him. He's a really good writer. I particularly like things like Man Out of Time. Mm. I think that's a great song. It's very, very good.
Who else would you say?
Who else do I like? I like Roddy Frame. I think he's very... Among contemporaries, I think he's really good. You know, loads of people go, the Sprouts like Aztec Camera. I think it's a real superficial comparison. It's true in the sense that it's like 3-minute songs and they're tuneful, and both use Dave Ruffy, you know, that sort of thing.
Who's he? Is he the producer?
The drummer. Dave Ruffy, the drummer of Aztec Camera. He played with us on our last two years.
I was expecting to see Roddy Frame at the gig last night because he lives in Manchester.
That's right, he lives around there.
I was looking for him, but I didn't see him.
Yeah. No, I don't think he was there. I don't really see it. Well, they've probably seen us live when we played with them in Edinburgh, Glasgow. I don't know what he thinks. I know Campbell really likes us. Dave does. I know the management do as well. The managers really like it. It's really funny. They've got all the records. And get them. Can you sign this? You know? It's really funny.
One of our fellow DJs is a great fan of yourself and of Aztec Camera. Those two favourite bands. You seem to be the two leading new bands, certainly in 84 and Aztec Camera.
Yeah.
Happened a while.
Thank you. What about the Smiths?
What about the Smiths?
Do you like that?
No, I think I prefer Sandy Shaw.
I quite like the fact that he's got a really strong viewpoint. His lyrics are strange in like the real personality. And I like one or two things, but I think they've gone overboard.
How do you hear? He's pulling a very strange face.
Well, Johnny Marr was dead nice to Martin when they were on their pop quiz together, and he was really nice, and he said, "You're Paddy's brother. Oh, great! You know, I really."
Sandy Shaw sounded better.
I like Hand in Glove. I think she sings funny. She sounds like a punk on it, which is really funny. But I'm so in the middle. She sounds, she's like, she's gone in one take. It's like flattened bits are sharp, and it's, you know, I like it.
Perhaps that's 20 years experience.
That's probably, to go back to normal, go back to the basics.
Can we expect a second album soon?
I don't know. We're gonna, when the tour's over in July, we're gonna do some demos because we want to work with top American producer Arif Martin. Not because of his work with Skritti Plitt, the Hiss and Dawad, but because he did Hall and Oates, Abandoned Luncheonette, right, which had some great songs on it. And I think that we could have real single success if we were produced properly. I'm prepared for us to produce our next LP ourselves while we wait.
Do you think you've had enough experience?
Well, not to do it to the degree that. I really want. I'm prepared to do it because we've learned quite a bit, and I know that whoever we work with are not going to dim, like the kind of to blunt the kind of edge that we've got, because it comes purely from like it's. I'm always having a thing about viewpoint. If your song's got viewpoint and personality, then there's not much you can do to dim that. It's just if your songs are weak and you know, like everybody else's, then you're going to, maybe if you get a top producer, he's maybe going to make you sound like everybody else, but if your songs are quirky in themselves, unique, you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have much bother who produces them. But your single success, it's like important, and I would like to think that some of the things that are on there, which haven't been single successes, could have been.
Cruel.
Cruel, we haven't put that out. But Cruel could be, I still think Couldn't Bear Me Special could be maybe in a different way. It could, in a coverable form.
You're disappointed in the sales of singles Lions
hasn't been released properly. Lions has never had more than 2,000 or 3,000 copies out at a time. It's not available now because Rough Trade ran out of money. We moved to CBS. I think Rough Trade probably thought, why the hell should we now try and promote something that really CBS are going to reap the benefits from, you know, more publicity for the Sprouts and people buy Swoon. I also think that Don't Sing did brilliantly for the first 2 weeks. It got to 62 or 69 with no daytime airplay, lots of Jensen stuff, you know, no daytime, and CBS didn't work as a priority. They dropped it from the priority list after a couple of weeks, thinking that we were going to have loads of other successes, not to worry. And I know for a fact that they now wish they hadn't done that. They think they should have stuck with it longer, pushed harder.
Spinning Belinda, I think, is particularly
you like
good
that? Track. Do you know that from this 12-inch?
Yes.
You see loads of people...
And Donna Summer.
We play that at the... that's right. So who should have a Donna Summer? Somebody should have a Donna, somebody else has done it. Donna Summer, and I thought, oh God, there's another one. Loads of people don't know it. We did a daft thing we thought Couldn't Bear Be Special would... would sell loads. It was a big mistake. Not an obvious choice.
A bit slow, perhaps, for
that. Perhaps a bit real in the middle as well. That was Mr. Costello's verdict. He says he really liked. You know, he thinks it's his favourite song. He thinks he likes it better than Cruel. But he said they can't program that alongside the Reflex. You know, when you start shouting in the middle, it just gets a bit near the knuckle. I thought, well, you know. Probably right.
I think Wendy's harmonies are particularly good. Has that taken a long time to...
Live, it's hard to get them right, you know, to get her a good sound so she's comfortable. So some nights we're way off bloody beam on the same, you know.
The bow,
that's a killer.
The first night.
It's bow, I sink to that, I'll wave around. Terrible, you know, drives me mad, that.
You wind up a bit on the stage, don't you?
I'll tell you what the thing about that is. If we ever do it in a kind of as an encore, we're usually more relaxed on that, but it comes straight after the devil and we've been moving around and your heart's going and you've got to be really, really still to do it, and it's, you're just too wound up, you know.
Can you explain the origin of the name?
Of Prefab Sprout?
Yeah.
It's really boring and we've been taken to task for this, you know. I mean, everybody goes, Prefab Sprout, who got their name from a Nancy Sinatra song? I made it up, it's the truth, I made it up when I started playing guitar, because all bands when I was a lad had weird names and I thought you just had a weird name.
I mean, a name, once that name is established, it could be called anything.
That's right, and no longer means. Nobody will then go, pray for ourselves, bloody, yeah, leave it out, mate, you know. Which, oh, the kind of thing you get from mothers and aunties, you know, but they're a bunch of vegetables, you know.
The first track I heard was, I forgot what it was called, On the Enemy
Lions.
Tape.
Lions in my own garden. On the Enemy Tape.
Looked down the track listing, Prefab Sprout, got to hear what they sound like. And I thought, this is great. It was the name that attracted to me. Without and I kept having to skip back and then skip a couple of tracks that weren't
Lions,
so good to get to something. That was a great song.
Chestnut Lions.
How old's that?
It's It's not that old, actually. They're a lot older on there than Lions. Lions is like 1981. I mean, Technique's 1980. Ghost Town Blues is 1977.
Is it?
Yeah, ancient. You know, ancient. You gotta try and bring things from your past as well as your new. Cruel was the last one I wrote before the LP. I wrote that last July or something. And then we just did it straight away.
It just fits in well with the rest of the album. It doesn't.
That's why I picked them. You know, I ignored all things. If I'd gone through and filtered out all the religious references or all the American references, I could have put together an LP that was more palatable and more less rich, and people would say, "What the hell's all this?" But I might have picked a bunch of old songs, I might have picked a bunch of totally new ones, and I wanted variety in the styles, you know, from different periods. And yet I wanted it to hang together, I wanted to create a mood, you know.
We're going to hear one of... We'd like to play one of your favourite songs at the moment. Would you like to introduce one for us?
Right, you're talking about favourite? Oh, I'm talking about a favourite Sprout track.
Well, right? We'll have one of each.
Oh, okay. Let me think. Favourite song. Oh, you probably have to switch it off. Oh, think of it. Let me think.
Would you like to introduce one of your favourite songs at the moment?
War Crimes, Jerry Dammer's special, aka. Definitely one of my favourites. For Craig, who's. He's really missed out tonight. That's nice. No, thank you, Craig, for playing Swim, right? And I'd like to dedicate Cruel to him. If you'd like to play that.
Paddy, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
And Wendy's just walked in. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're tweeting. Have you seen our tour passes?
We haven't seen your tour passes.
I haven't got a spare one.
We're such an
incredible rock band, right, that we have.
The Shorty McTwee tour, 1984.
Notice the resemblance.
What's the cover of your new single?
That's brilliant. It's really rocky, that.
Thank you very much for talking to us, and best of luck in the future. Of any bands that I've heard recently, you definitely deserve the utmost success.
Thanks very much. Thank you for coming along.
Prefab Sprout couldn't bear to be special, and that, well, or there will be an interview with Prefab Sprout, Phil Gorman, in conversation with Paddy McAloon, and that's on Monday night. That's Bank Holiday Monday, in a special work in progress which spans from 7 o'clock until 10. And not only will there be an interview with Paddy McAloon, but also an interview with Bob Geldof, and the whole of it will be hosted by the lad himself, Mr. Wood. All right, Craig?
Yeah, fine, Steve. Just reading the lyrics to the new Cure album.
I'm talking about the new Cure album. What a link. I'm talking about the new Cure album. I've been playing a couple of tracks from that tonight, and on the deck right now, we have it. The album is called...